Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Thinking big thoughts so you don't have to. Here's John Williams.
John, exhausted after a grueling four-day work week. And he works 2 hours a day. That could kill a guy. It's Dean Richards. Filling in for John today. Great to be with you on this Friday. We've got lots of things going on. We've got lots of entertainment things going on today. You know, because people are getting ready for the weekend, you know, why not talk about some of those things? But turns out we've got kind of a busy news day going on as well with the apprehension of the suspect in the pipe bombing incident that went on this week. And we'll talk more about that coming up later on. It's good to have everybody here with us. I don't usually work in the studio, so I am completely disoriented. Violetta's here, right?
I'm here.
Okay, where?
I'm not sitting next to you. I hope you can tell that, but.
I did notice that. But don't we have, aren't there like TV monitors in all the studios?
Yeah, you should be able to look up where the clock is, but maybe the TV's off.
They're all turned off.
Well, John must have taken the TV signal with him.
All right. We'll have to do this old school.
Just listen to my voice.
Like old school radio where you couldn't see each other. Theater of the mind. I got enough looking at you this morning anyway. Violetta was on the WGN TV morning news today, filling in for Mike Toomey.
Yes, sir.
And did a fantastic job. And might I say, also looking cute as a button.
Oh, well, thank you.
Cute as a little button.
You can say that, actually.
Cute as a little button this morning.
I appreciate
it. Doing a very nice job.
It's much harder to, you know, you have to look good on the TV. We come rolling in here. Kind of.
I would beg to differ myself.
What are you saying about us?
Where some of us just
not everybody.
Apparently, you don't have HD at your house.
Some people have made a career on it, right, Dean?
You know what? I say it's the content that's more important than how you
would
look.
Have to.
Well, I'm just saying on the radio, we get a little leeway.
Right.
I don't have to worry about my hair, right. My eyelashes.
Or... Do people know that you normally show up to work in your pajamas?
Now they do.
Okay. But looking cute as a button. And I don't, you know, I don't want to leave Steve out. Steve, I haven't seen Steve.
He's as cute as a button.
In person in a long time.
Go on.
Adorable.
Yeah.
Steve Bertrand, just as adorable as can be today.
He's a pixie.
All right, that's too far.
You are the last person in the world should be calling anyone a pixie.
And who is that other voice?
That is Elton John's new best friend in the world.
We're besties.
You are BFF with...
I beg your pardon.
with Elton John, Elton Jim Toronto.
Yeah, I thank you, Dean Areno. Hi-ho.
Who got a very special shout-out by Elton John himself at the Madison Square Garden concert.
Wow.
Yeah, last week.
The other day. Elton's in town. He's probably in town right now, and I'm sure I know the first thing he does when he comes to WN switches on 720.
And he wants to know the traffic.
He loves
he loves
Orion Samuelson. Yeah. People know he loves Orion Samuelson.
Hello, Elton John.
Who doesn't want a good hogs report?
That's right. Who doesn't love a pork belly future more than Elton John? We all know that.
He's big in the market.
So he's at the United Center tonight.
Tomorrow.
And the United Center tomorrow. But Elton John, Jim, now is 100, you've seen...
Yeah, this tonight will be 183.
183 Elton John shows.
Yeah.
Which is sort of why Elton John, Madison Square Garden... Midtown Manhattan, at his concert there the other day, said this.
There's so many people here tonight who are my friends. There's one person I want to dedicate this song to because I've been talking about you guys out there. This guy from Chicago has been to so many shows. He's one of the loyalest fans in the world. I've never dedicated this song to him, but tonight I'm dedicating this to Jim Toronto. This is you, baby.
About that.
I still can't believe it.
How about that? What's your instant reaction? You're sitting there.
Did you cry? You had to cry.
I think I did. I think I was more in shock and it was shaking more than and wondering, did this really happen? Because he does dedicate songs to people, and usually that's that part of the show is when he dedicates songs to maybe a friend who's at the show or somebody he's met, you know, before the show.
A stalker.
Not very few stalkers. I'm happy to know that apparently the restraining order has been lifted.
Well, apparently not.
Yeah.
Somebody on, I don't know if you saw this on your Facebook page.
What did they say?
Somebody pointed out that he may have given you that shout out just to alert security who you were to keep an eye on
he's
you.
He's here.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, I didn't expect it at all. Neil Patrick Harris, the actor, was at the concert in New York.
Name dropper.
So was Jewel.
Name dropper.
So he said, I've got a lot of friends here tonight. I'm not among his friends. I think this was kind of an audible. I think he called an audible. I was in the front row.
He saw you because you've been very, yeah. very close. Not only front row, but when they set up that staging where seats are actually on the stage to make it
yeah.
seem like cafe-like setting.
Yeah,
and you've been in Vegas,
I've literally been on the stage yeah. next to the piano as he's played.
Right.
He used to let people up.
You've been very, very close. So, I mean, if nothing else, he would certainly recognize your face because you do go to a lot of shows.
Yeah, and I have met him, but the last time was about 20 years ago, but I guess I can answer the question now, does he know you? I think I could say yes to that
yeah.
definitively.
Yeah.
But I was not expecting it. And then when he said, from Chicago, I was still wondering because he went to Lutheran General Hospital, and that's where he became sober.
Right.
So he has a lot of friends
in
Chicago.
Sure. Right.
So I still wasn't. But then when he said, there's a guy who's gone to a lot of shows, then I said, whoa.
Wait a minute.
That's me.
I should have gotten yeah. this ticket comped.
Yeah, could this be the moment? I mean, it's taken me 100, at that time, it took me 182 shows to finally, I've been waiting for this for 182 shows. So I was kind of expecting it one day.
That's cool.
But when he said my name,
Have you been on cloud nine since then?
I keep listening to that clip. Just to say, was that real? It right. sounded very genuine.
Most people say your name and spit right after.
Yeah. Mostly it's Steve. but yeah, I mean, it was touching. It was validating. It was a shock. It was everything. It was just a swirl of emotions. And then, you know, at that point, they allow people to go up to the stage,
right.
to the lip of the stage. And I was so caught in the moment that I'm like, wait a minute, I better get up there because he's singing this to me.
Right.
And I've actually somebody.
And did you lay on his piano like a fabulous, no. fabulous Baker
yeah.
Boy style?
I did have a red dress on, but they didn't get me up there.
when don't you?
Yeah, of
when
course.
When you're in New York.
When in New York, right? Me and RuPaul, but no. And I was kind of late getting up to the stage, but then I muscled my way over there, and it was pretty cool. I mean, every so often he would take a look over and smile. He knew he did a cool thing, I think.
Yeah.
You know, and I
think that is a really cool. I mean, he definitely did not have to do that.
Did not have to
I
do
think
it.
That's a very sweet thing for him to do. For he obviously recognized that you are a super loyal fan. And that was his way of saying thank you for all these
things. And even the band members, I know a couple of the band members, you know, casually.
Name dropper.
And they even looked at me and went like, wow, that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
You know, that was cool. That even shocked them. And and yeah, after it was done, I mean, people were coming because there was a guy standing next to me and I must have physically, I think I sort of grabbed my heart and sort of took a step back. This guy goes, is that you? And I'm like, yes, that's me.
You should have got on his shoulders.
Yeah. Well, I was right in front, so
oh,
I mean.
You didn't have to.
And
then
he blew me a little kiss, which was kind of interesting and fun.
The guy?
No, Elton.
Oh.
I mean,
hey,
I
don't know what you do when you're out of town.
When in New York.
When you're away from the wife, I don't know what you do.
We're all Elton John fans, but how did this kind of obsession and fandom start for you?
Well, the first record I ever bought was in 1973, was a single of Crocodile Rock, which I still have. And that's how I sort of chart my way. Now, for people that are younger, you really can't understand it, but in the early 70s, from 1972 or 73 to at least 76, he was huge. He was as big as it can be. He was on every radio station, and his albums. He had 7 number one albums in a row.
Yeah, man.
You know, his first. He was the first to ever have an album enter the charts at number one. He was so huge, and so it wasn't any kind of a stretch to be an Elton John fan. But if anybody who knows me, I sort of don't do anything you know, half,
moderately
half baked.
Yeah,
I'm in.
Yeah.
And so when Elton was so big at that time, and it was, you know, it was kind of a weird thing because while as he was popular, there was a lot of people that didn't like him because he was so popular. So it wasn't always the coolest thing to be, you know, have this badge of honor. I used to wear my T-shirts
for the most
all the
part,
time.
Though.
It's funny you say that, Jim, because when you were talking, trying to explain how big he was, I was one of those guys. I'm like, enough.
Right.
You know, back in the 70s,
yeah.
When it came on the radio, I would kind of turn it off because it was there was just
so
too much of it.
Oh, that's so mainstream.
No.
Well, I think...
No, not like that. Dean, I wanted to hear more of the Carpenters.
I wanted to hear England Dan and John Ford Coley instead.
Yeah, how come Barry Manilow isn't getting this kind of attention?
But now I'm a huge fan. But at the time, he was so everywhere that it was just a little burnout.
It was a little too... It was.
You could hit... I mean, there was one time where I would hit the radio station, every button on the dial, and there was a song on. Yeah. It was that prevalent. And so...
When did you decide, though, that I'm going to go to as many shows as I possibly can? It's expensive.
Oh, it's very expensive.
Expensive. But what did you say? I'm going to do this. I get your nutty obsession.
Yeah. The first concert I went to was in 1976. I was 12 years old at Chicago State, and my mom took me.
You don't have to tell me about each show.
No, but I'm just saying. So that was the first one. But when I really started to go to, you know, the idea of going to multiple shows, people didn't even do that in general. Now a lot of people do that all the time. You know, Deadheads and things like that. I saw only Chicago-based shows for, I would say, the first 10 years or so. It wasn't until probably the early 90s when I had some disposable income. And it was just like, well, I've always wanted to see him in New York type of thing.
Okay.
And then I would fly there. And then all of a sudden it was like, well, why not? And then I met a group of people who I found also were going to shows, and we became friends. And so, I mean, when I was at the concert here in New York, I was with a very good friend of mine who I met 25 years ago.
Through Elton John.
Through Elton John being fans.
Just on a little side note, talking about shows in the 1970s, did you ever see the group Queen?
Yes, I did.
Perform?
I saw them at Poplar Creek.
They were at Poplar Creek. They played the Chicago Stadium several times.
Yeah.
They played what was then called the Rosemont Horizon.
Now it's the Allstate Arena. You're in their studio.
Do you know they played the Aragon? The Aragon Ball.
Really?
Tiny little
probably
room.
Probably in their early days.
That was their first Chicago show.
Yeah.
Anyway, I looked it all up because this movie Bohemian Rhapsody is coming up, which I saw. And I loved, and I'll be talking much more about next week, but, you know, bringing back those old kind of 70s memories. I never got to see them in concert.
Oh, no,
I'll bet that was an amazing
experience. He was great. But Freddie Mercury was another, you know, kind of charismatic,
bigger than life,
unique.
Yeah.
And if you ever just go on YouTube and watch their performance at Live Aid from 1985,
stunning, yeah.
And they stole the show.
Yeah, and they recreate that in the
movie.
Have
to, yeah,
they recreate that legendary performance. That's
a pinnacle
the end
moment
of the movie. Let me take a break because Jim's best friend Elton is at the United Center tonight and tomorrow. And maybe you can give us a little, for fans who are going tonight, a little preview of what's going on. I'm going to share my favorite Elton John song. And I don't think it's like a regular, it's not the ones that people think are the classic Elton
John songs. I was impressed.
Steve
Bertrand has told me that Mona Lisa's and Mad Hatter's is his favorite song. Huh. And I'm very impressed by that choice.
Yeah. Oh, mine's a commercial one. Mine was one of his hits, but it's not one of the ones you hear all the time.
Cool.
We'll get to all that and more. Elton John's best friend is
best friend
here with us, and we'll be right back after this. John Williams Show, WGN.
Mama don't want you. Daddy don't want you. Give it up, baby.
November 6th, you have the power to influence the course of politics. Follow the most comprehensive local political news online. ChicagoTribune.com/midterm. Dean Richards.
Mama can't.
Almost said Sunday morning.
Waka, 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 waka.
Sunday morning.
Play your theme song.
keeper of the Sunday Morning Show in for John Williams today. Elton Jim Toronto is here with us previewing the Elton John shows that are at the United Center tonight and tomorrow. This is my favorite Elton John
song. Wow. And that, I'm very impressed. I'm impressed because
of all of them. I love Candle in the Wind.
Right.
I love Rocket Man. I love Your Song. I love all the hits. But I don't know why. I love this song.
Yeah, this is somewhat of an obscure song. It was I think it was a top 10 hit in 79. It was based on a series of recordings he did in 77 and then aborted for some reason. And off of this this same album, in Britain, there's another song called Are You Ready for Love, which about 5 or 10 years ago, somebody started playing in a club, and it became a number one song in England off
funny?
The same album.
Isn't that funny how
20-some like, years ago.
Some songs click and some don't in certain places and don't in certain places.
Yeah.
So does he do this one in concert?
No, but you know what? He does play this.
I'm not
as,
going then.
Okay. But he does play this as the walkout music.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good walking music.
Yeah. That and Are You Ready for Love? But so this is the Farewell Yellow Brick Road tour. He is not ending performing. That's been erroneously reported so often. He is just not
fake
going
news.
To be.
He's fake
not,
news. Fake news. Fake Elton John news.
He's not going to do these massive monthly, these month tours that just go from, week to week and city to city because he wants
out of the house because he wants to enjoy his kids.
Yeah, but he didn't really clarify that until he sold a lot of tickets for this tour, right?
Yeah. And it's the longest goodbye you're ever going to hear. It's a 3-hour, it's a 3-year goodbye.
Hey, if Cher can have 4 goodbye tours, Elton can get at least one.
I mean, don't forget, Elton's coming back here to say goodbye again in February at the Allstate Arena. Yeah. So,
you mean the Rosemont Horizon?
Oh, that's right. Yes, for those of you.
Right.
But,
how many songs does he do?
So it's a 2-hour and 40-minute show.
Okay.
24 songs. Right. And it is a smattering of all, throughout the entire career, but obviously it's weighted heavily on the 70s. What you will be really impressed in, if you are going, make sure to remind yourself, it is a visual onslaught of the, on the senses. There is a huge, huge video screen. So wherever you're going to sit, you're going to see him. It's not like, oh, geez, I can't see him.
I've got a bad seat.
Huge video screen. But however, there's also some videos that go with specific songs that are done by the photographer and designer David LaChapelle.
A lot of old footage.
Some old footage, some new footage, some esoteric footage. The piano moves for the first time, which is kind of cool. So it gives people on the other side of the arena a chance.
Get a full perspective on what's going on. What's your favorite song in the whole show? We have a minute left. What's your favorite moment in the show?
There is Someone Saved My Life Tonight from Captain Fantastic. They play on the video screen some amazing footage of an animated cartoon that we're going to base on Captain Fantastic and the Bounder Carver that was never released. And I've never seen this footage for the first time. So the visual accompaniment to this, he gives a real impassioned performance of that song. I've seen 5 shows so far in this tour, and that song to me has been the highlight
for you every time. People learn more? I know that there's somebody shot video of him giving you a shout out. You probably have maybe written about it on your
on my Facebook page and my podcast that comes out here on WGNplus.com on Monday. I will talk about the entire story of how it happened on my Facebook page, Jim Toronto. You can see the video of that of his dedication. Someone shot it somewhere and put it up on YouTube.
Right.
I didn't even know about.
We'll look for all of that. We have a press conference coming up from the Department of Justice on the apprehension of the suspect in the pipe bombing incident that took place this week. We'll get to that coming up. Elton, Jim, thank you so much.
Thank you, Dean Areno.
Jim will be with us on our historic Tree Time broadcast. Our
5 gold rings.
Our Sunday holiday extravaganza on November 11th. Dean Richards filling in for John Williams today. A really interesting reaction on our text line as all of this has been coming down. Most people commenting on the congratulatory nature of all of the comments that we've heard so far. 815 area code, nothing like patting themselves on the back. Another from the 708 area code, is this a news briefing or the Oscars? Here is another from the 847 area code. They should really just show a picture of the van and say, case closed. Law enforcement seems a little too congratulatory for finding someone driving around with a van with "I'm crazy" written all over it.
Well, I'm sure those people would be complaining if they hadn't caught someone by now either. I mean, I think if I can just echo the congratulation, I think it's a pretty remarkable thing.
I think it is. And I think it's also amazing that we have the technology to do this now. As They were describing, you know, the DNA helped them find this guy.
I mean, this started in earnest. There was a George Soros one earlier, but it started in earnest. What was it? Wednesday? Was that the day? I think Monday was Soros, the Soros attack, and then it was Wednesday that the others came.
Yeah, no, it's great, but I think it's just interesting that this is how people are reacting to hearing one congratulations after another. I you know, who can't agree that it's great that, you know, they found him. Hopefully, he's working alone, and you know, this will be the end of it.
Well, in addition, it might seem obvious now after you found someone or a suspect, but there's a lot of people that might echo that, so they had to use a lot of other technology to narrow down the suspect.
I think it's fantastic that we have that kind of technology. That they did say, Steve, that it was a random fingerprint.
They right? found a latent fingerprint, fingerprint on one of the devices sent to Maxine Waters, the congresswoman from California.
And DNA.
And DNA evidence,
you know, just
as
that
well.
They, you know, that kind of technology exists now, that they can track things down like that, are great, and all the law enforcement seem to work together, you know, which I think is fantastic. What's also really interesting to me, and, you know, this goes for, you know, something that I've been saying for a long time, that, you know, whatever political camp you're in, you're going to stay in that political camp no matter what happens and no matter what anybody says or does. You're going to find a way to rationalize the opinion that you had in the first place in your political camp.
I think people feel cornered. You know, instead of being able to accept maybe something that might be right or wrong, it's just, I'm cornered, so I have to say this.
People are, you know, I was saying that I was happy to hear the president saying that political violence is unacceptable. And, you know, people are criticizing me. How dare I compliment the president on something? That's, you know, we've been wanting to hear the president say things like this for a long time. You got to give the man credit when he, you know, when he finds that middle ground, because normally we don't hear that from him. And I hope that we do continue to hear things like that from him. On the other hand, there are still people, even though they have all of this evidence now, even though they have a suspect in custody, people are still texting in that this is a Democratic plot. On both sides of it, people want to stay in their whatever they thought in the first place, and it doesn't matter what kind of compelling evidence you know, may be revealed, they're going to stay in their camp no matter what. And that's why we're never going to get any kind of resolution to anything, it seems to me. Our news, by the way, was sponsored by Tom Peck Ford. We'll take a quick break. Continue on WGN.
Has a homeowner discovered that their insurance policy is outdated when something breaks and their policy doesn't cover it? 64% of American households are underinsured with outdated coverage. That's what Hippo set out to solve with smart home insurance for the modern home and for up to 25% less. And right now, when you switch to Hippo, they'll give you a smart home starter kit with two smart sensors that help prevent break-ins, water leaks, fires. You'll also get a smart home discount, offering coverage for all the items that run your home, like everything that plugs into a wall, for up to 25% less. It only takes seconds, and all policies are backed by Hippo's top-rated insurance partners with over $200 billion in assets. Go to myhippo.com/WGN and see if you can save up to 25%. Plus, get a smart home starter kit. Go to myhippo.com/WGN today. In 60 seconds, you could save 25%. myhippo.com/WGN.
Message and data rates may apply.
Looking to spruce up your home with fashionable new window blinds, shades, and draperies? Look no further than Chicago's own Eddie Z's, the window treatment experts that come to you. Eddie Z's is offering radio listeners an amazing offer. Buy one window treatment and get the second at 50% off. To schedule a free shop-at-home appointment with one of our friendly and professional design consultants, simply text WINDOW to 642-642 or go to eddiez's.com. By providing an amazing selection of today's top brand names and styles and advice from experts who come to you, Eddie Z's has earned an A-plus rating by the Better Business Bureau. Save big with our buy one and get 50% off on the second treatment of select blind shades or drapery. Nobody does blinds and drapery better than Eddie Z's. Nobody. Take the first step into transforming your home with beautiful window treatments by scheduling your free at-home consultation. Simply text WINDOW to 642-642 or go to eddiez's.com. Text WINDOW to 642-642.
Do you want your basement to be dry most of the time? If so, PermaSeal is not the company for you. PermaSeal hears story after story of homeowners who say that their basement only leaks when it rains. Well, you don't want your living room or your bedroom getting wet. So why do you settle for a wet basement? PermaSeal team believes that your basement should be dry no matter how hard it rains. You can have a permanently dry basement just by giving PermaSeal a call, 800-421-SEAL. They offer a free estimate, no haggle pricing. There is a price assurance guarantee, so you can rest assured that you are getting the best value. Our pal Roy Spencer started PermaSeal back in 1979. It's still a local Chicagoland family business doing the right thing and standing behind their work. So give them a call, 800-421-SEAL. 800-421-SEAL. If you want your basement dry all of the time, you know who to call. PermaSeal, 800-421-7325 or permaseal.net. 218, Dean Richards for John Williams today. Honestly, the Bulls are back on WGN TV. Looking for a W in Charlotte tonight, 6 o'clock, on my favorite TV station, WGN Television. It's Monday morning, by the way, on our WGN TV morning news. Talking with maybe one of the hottest comedians out right now, Tiffany Haddish. Monday on the WGN TV morning news. Bob is on our phone line, 312-981-7200. Bob, you're on WGN. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I would just like to hear the president now apologize to the FBI for all the work they did on this thing, because many months ago he was ostracizing the FBI and saying they were not an important part of his party, yeah, an important part of the government.
But would you agree that it's good to hear him congratulating the Department of Justice today and law enforcement officials today?
Oh, I agree that we need to applaud them. We need to say they did great. But the president needs to apologize first, because he was the one that was downplaying their importance. And the Department of Justice is very important.
I think there is a certain amount of irony in the very conciliatory things that he said today, the very, quote, presidential things that he said today, that, you know, people have been criticizing him for not being presidential, being very presidential today in his tone and his words. You know, what's your over under on whether or not he stays this way, or at his next rally, when he gets in front of his supporters, goes back to the old Donald Trump, or when he gets back on the Twitter feed tonight, goes back to the old Donald Trump?
Well, I'm worried about that, because I think the old Donald Trump is much more prevalent than the new guy that we're seeing today. And that worries me, that he opens his mouth and says the wrong thing and doesn't think about what he says, and basically, I don't know, destroys the country. And that's the way I look at it. He's hurting everybody.
Do you agree with me that how people, no matter what happens, find a way to rationalize in their own minds what their original thoughts are in the first place, no matter what happens, no matter how somebody turns around, how conciliatory they become, how much they change, people will still find a way to reinforce whatever they wanted to believe in the first place, on both sides of this?
Well, yeah, that is true. But there hasn't been enough good things to outweigh all the bad things.
All the bad things.
And that's just the way I look at it.
Okay. I'm glad you called, Bob. I appreciate that. Thank you. Let's go over to Sandra at 312-981-7200. Sandra, you're a postal worker, post office worker?
Yes, I work for the post office. And when I initially saw the first one, I said to myself, that's postage due, because it should have had at least $3.75 on it.
Oh, you were counting the stamps on it.
I just saw the stamps, and there were six stamps, and I knew that wasn't enough, because all packages stop at $3.50.
Well, you know what I noticed? This is kind of an interesting point, because what I noticed was none of the stamps were postmarked. If these packages actually went through the U.S. postal system, there would have been marks on them, right?
Well, they're cutting down workers. I myself am a postage shoe technician, and they abolished my job, and all of us ex-technicians saw right away, we knew two things right away, that it was postage due. He wasn't asking for the free tracking, which he would have gotten with a package, and that none of them were processed correctly. And that if he was using a postal rate chart, it was from 2017.
Oh, wow. If I'm ever in a trial requiring an expert witness from the post office, I'm going to call you.
Just call me. My real name isn't Sandra.
Okay. Okay, that's okay. Because I had heard in all the reporting this week, and, you know, I've only had, kind of half an ear on everything that's been going on. You know, just with your own daily activities, you watch as much as you possibly can. But I thought I had heard that some of these packages, even though they had stamps on the packages, were actually hand-delivered, messenger-delivered, and didn't go through the post office at all.
Well, they caught a bunch of them in the postal stream, so I don't know if some of them were hand-delivered. There didn't seem to be any coverage or anything on messenger services.
Yeah.
So I didn't see anything about that.
Let me ask you something.
But of all packages, they should have got, the post office is losing $1,000. We're worried about China, and look at, we can't even mail 12 packages.
Let me ask you something. Does the post office have some kind of mechanism for identifying suspicious packages that are being sent?
Yes, but this fell underneath of them, because I think it's not called the Ted Kaczynski rule, but I call it the Ted Kaczynski rule because it came into play after those Unabomber packages,
yeah,
which some were delivered in Illinois to Lake Forest.
Would these packages have caught somebody's eye if they had gone through?
No, because they had a return address, and they were less than 13 ounces.
Yeah.
I heard on CNN said they were 7 ounces, and that the pipe on them was that PVC pipe, not the metal pipe.
Yeah, which is a lighter weight. Very interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Your perspective on this, Sandra. Thank you very much. You're welcome.
Have a great day.
Yeah, have a great weekend. Thank you very much. This is Bill. You're on WGN. Good afternoon.
Hi. Listen, yeah, I've got this climate that's being created. It bugs me because the other day I called a senator's office to be critical of their policies, and it was a woman senator, and I immediately criticized her for her policies, and the guy said to me, hey, we don't condone misogyny here, and immediately hung up on me. All I was doing was criticizing her policies, and he accused me of misogyny or the hatred of women. Now, if that's not being decisive, I don't know what, or divisive, I don't know what is. It seems
we also don't know, and I really don't want to get into it right now because I'm not sure it kind of applies to this, but we don't know exactly what you said to him or the tone in which you said to him. There probably should have been a more polite response to you. I'll give you that much. But without listening to the conversation, it's hard to say. How does that apply to what the president said today?
Well, it just applies to the fact that there's a total divisiveness going out and around. Well,
there's no question about that on both sides.
Well, it seems to be, though, if you criticize someone and they're black, you're immediately labeled a racist anymore. If you criticize a woman for something she said, you're immediately accused of being anti-feminist. And if you accuse a gay of doing something, you're immediately accused of being a homophobe. Now, if that doesn't contribute to the current climate of distrust and edgy people and an angry populace, I don't know what is.
Well,
I've certainly resented being...
Well, okay, I hear what you're saying, but I think it's what you say and how you say it. You can criticize a black woman or gay person, but if you use the N-word, then you're taking it to a different step. It depends on the language, your tone. It depends on a lot of things. I'm not saying that you did. All I'm saying is it depends on, I disagree with what you're saying, that you can't criticize somebody without being accused of something. It depends on what you say and how you say it. Bill, thank you for your call. I appreciate it. Here's Mona. You're on WGN. Good afternoon.
Well, hello. Good afternoon. And since you just respond to Bill in the, I that's a very appropriate response. I won't make a comment on that. But listen, I just want to make a comment on a comment that you made in regards to giving the president credit for what he said. Now, sir, let's call it for what it is. He only made that comment because of everything his aides or Americans are saying. He is not a real presidential president. He don't know what to say, the appropriate thing to say at the time it needs to be said. He only said that because his aides probably told him, because you better believe later on tonight or tomorrow, especially after pictures of that van goes viral and on the news constantly, he's going to get offended again and probably get back on Twitter and say his rhetoric had nothing to do with that.
Well, maybe,
so you cannot give this man credit.
Well, I'm giving him credit for what he said today. I'm sticking with that. Now, if he goes back to his old ways, then he goes back to his old ways. But you know,
his old ways has never left him.
Well, you may be right. You may be right about that. But for the moment, don't you think if somebody, you know, even though somebody is, even if somebody does you wrong and talks badly to you and this and that, if they are conciliatory, you can't say, well, you know, maybe he's trying. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm being completely naive. And you may be 100% correct. If history, you know, shows anything about Donald Trump, it shows that you're going to be right on this. But I think at the moment, he said don't you agree? He said the right things at that moment, regardless of how they were motivated or where they came.
He reverts back. He did it the other day when he said we need unity right before, what was that, the Wisconsin rally?
Yeah, and then he went on a tirade.
He made a comment.
Yeah. Right, you're right.
And then he turned around and bam. And then he blamed media again. So I guess that's what my point is. If he stuck to that, then I would agree with you. But he's going to revert. He only said it for that moment. But you watch what happens tomorrow. Thank you.
You may be 100% right, Mona. I hope you have a nice weekend. Thank you so much.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We'll take a quick break, and we're going to update news next on WGN. Thank you, Steve. It is Dean Richards filling in for John today on WGN. Rocon's coming up at 3. We've got things going on for the weekend, the kind of things that I cover on my Sunday morning show here on WGN Radio, 9 a.m. until 1 p.m. Every week, and, of course, on the WGN TV morning news as well. But today, I wanted to talk about something that affects most of us, and especially at this time of the day, on a Friday, people are trying to get out of the office, they're getting into their cars, they're headed out onto the expressways and tollways, and getting out in traffic. And more, I think traffic is changing greatly. I notice it all the time, and I'm not 100% sure why that's happening, but it does seem like it's changing. And there are greater threats, I think, to safety for a variety of reasons on the highways right now. Somebody who is very keenly watching that same idea is Illinois Department of Transportation Secretary Randy Blankenhorn, who is in studio with us right now. Welcome. Nice to have you with us here on WGN.
Thanks, Dean. It's great to be here.
So there's a big summit that IDOT is putting on next week to examine many of the exact same things I was just talking about, of safety issues that are changing now. I mean, it's more than just somebody's speeding or somebody's not, you know, the fender bender, or, you know, those right. kinds of things that were common problems on the highways before, right?
It is. We are seeing a significant increase in fatalities and serious accidents on our highways, and we've got to stop that. We've got to find a new way to look at it, and this summit is bringing different people together to talk about what's happening out there, what the potential solutions are. For 2 years in a row, we've had 1,000 or more traffic deaths on our highways, and that's just way too many.
Are the number of vehicles that are on the roadways right now significantly higher than they were? It seems like it to me, just my completely uneducated, frustrated because I'm stuck in traffic eye.
Yeah, they are up a little bit. They're not up as much as you would think, but as the economy grows, so does travel. to be honest, and as we see jobs grow. But we are up a little bit, and I think that's what you're seeing in congestion and frustration.
But that's not the cause of, not necessarily the only cause of safety issues, right?
No, and I don't think it's even the primary cause. I think the primary cause, honestly, is people are driving distractedly. They're on their phones, they're texting.
I'm sorry, were you saying something? I was texting just then.
Exactly. Exactly.
That you see that, I was at a body and fender shop a couple of years ago, something like that. I was in a non-cell phone related accident. Had nothing to do with that, in my defense. But I was talking with the owner of the shop, B&L Auto on North Kedzie. They're great. But he said, yes, as long as people are staying on their phones, I'm going to stay in business. Because that's exactly what you're saying, that
it
people
is.
Are distracted while they're driving now.
You know, as I drive around this state and I see people on their phones and passing me, and I'll beep at them and, you know, pick my phone up and put it to my ear, and
right.
they'll give me a dirty look.
Right, right.
Because they really don't think they're doing anything wrong.
Right.
They don't see that the problem they're causing, and they're not seeing the consequences of what happens out there.
Yeah. Is that the main cause now? Because also road rage seems to be at an all-time high.
There is. We're seeing more of that on our expressways than we have in the past. We're seeing significant work zone crashes where we have construction
right.
happening. These are all issues. But if we pay attention, almost all of these crashes are avoidable. We just have to pay attention to what we're doing.
Who are you bringing in? This summit is going to be recorded, and people will be able to watch it on the web. But you're bringing experts, not just people from within IDOT to examine this, but you're bringing in lots of different people from lots of different places to bring lots of different ideas into the equation.
Absolutely. You know, 1,000 deaths any other place would be a health crisis, right?
Right.
And so we're trying to look at it that way. We're bringing in our departments of public health. We're bringing in state police, local law enforcement, communications professionals that talk about how do we get this message to the public. Different approaches from different ideas, and that's what this summit is for, is to really talk about how are we going to solve this problem, how are we going to get the public to understand that they have a responsibility to drive safely.
Yeah. How do you think we begin to solve the problem of distracted driving? And it's mostly cell phones. But, I see people putting on their eye makeup while they're driving, reading the newspaper while they're driving.
Yeah.
I've seen people eating. That's a huge thing I see. People are busy, you know, having breakfast or lunch or whatever while they should be paying attention to the road.
Yeah, and you see all that. And honestly, Dean, for the first time yesterday, as I was walking home, I saw a guy with his laptop perched on his dash.
No way.
As he was driving down the street. It's not just phones. It's all of those things.
Yeah.
But it is, I think, the biggest issue that we're facing right now is how do we get people to avoid that?
How do you get people to stop?
I think there's a number of ways. We've tried on our overhead message signs as you're driving down the expressway.
Right.
Now, it used to just tell you how late you were going to be. Now we really put messages up there that some are clever and some are creative, and then we'll rotate that with some really serious facts about how many children died on our highways last
right.
year.
Yeah.
We need to get that message
out there.
Compelling.
That's very compelling.
It is compelling. Where, you know, if someone sent me a YouTube video last week where young people were talking about why they text and drive. I'm bored. I'm at a stoplight. I always answer my friends.
Yeah.
And then they had a young woman come out who'd been seriously injured and her parents had died because of that. You can't watch that and not think I'm doing something wrong.
Yeah, I think people are just sort of pathologically addicted to their phones. It's a nervous reflex for people that if they're not looking down at their texts or, you know, looking at who emailed them on their phone, it's a nervous reaction. It's something that can easily wait 10 minutes, 20 minutes, a half an hour until you get home. But it's a nervous tick in people. They can't stop it.
I think you're right, Dean. I just think of it as I go to dinner with my kids sometimes, and when their phone rings, they pick it up. You know, it's not that they couldn't have waited.
Yeah,
they just pick it up nervously
for no reason.
They don't get dinner with dad that often, so, you know, let's wait and make sure things. But
yeah.
it's all over. And I think you're right. It's just a natural response for people to want to be constantly in communication.
Is it feasible to have, a unit, I guess, I don't know, if the Illinois State Police? I know City of Chicago's jurisdiction is not your jurisdiction on the highways for IDOT. But to have cars that are specifically on the roads, to when they see somebody on their phone, take their license number down, and they get a $100 ticket or $500 ticket or whatever, that's a pretty good motivation to stay off your phone.
It is. I think there's a lot of motivations we can use. Scaring people is one of them, these kind of stories that we hear. But enforcement works. You get a couple of tickets, you're going to quit doing it.
Right.
And I think we have worked with our state police and our local law enforcement partners to try to, for us to pay for additional officers out there that can do just that, that can be spotting this kind of behavior and starting to give tickets and hopefully changing the behavior of the drivers.
Yeah, because I've done as you have when I've seen people who are doing really dangerous things, not just on their phones, but they're swerving
right.
or about to cause an accident or something. And when I go by them, I wave my phone at them. And I think, well, I've just distracted myself by doing that, number one. And I don't know what kind of crazy is in the other car. And is he going to pull a gun out in reaction to my waving my phone at him? Why don't I just keep going and mind my own business?
Well, I think, you know, I get what you're saying, but I think we all have a responsibility to really say to everybody, this is just not
Knock
acceptable behavior.
Knock it off.
You know, how do we change behavior? I mean, it starts with our kids. When our kids start telling mom and dad, you can't talk on the phone when you're driving, you'll see change.
Yeah, that's great. What other issues do you hope will be addressed in your safety summit next week?
Well, one of the things that we're talking about is entirely changing the culture of how we think about it. Minnesota DOT and their partners have this program called Towards Zero Fatalities. And we say, is zero realistic? Is zero a real number? And we've decided that zero is the number. That if it's not, who is it acceptable that they die? Or where is it acceptable to have a fatality? We need to change the whole culture that there is no acceptable fatality on our roadways, and we need to work towards that.
Yeah, this is Kathy on our phone line, 312-981-7200. Hi, Kathy, you're on with Secretary Blankenhorn.
Oh, hello, Secretary. I'm honored to be speaking with you, and honored to speak with you, Dean, as well.
My pleasure.
I really enjoy your show on Sunday, and thanks for stepping in today.
Sure.
I'm a teacher, and I know that a lot of times, and I just know from my own experience in driver's ed, that whatever that driver's ed teacher told me, I really listened to them. You know, put your hands in the 10-2 position, and all those things that were kind of drilled into my head stuck to my head. But I think maybe if like in the high schools and when kids are learning how to drive, if it was really, really stressed that it's very dangerous to be using the phone while you're driving, that might help, you know, future generations. It's such
can't
as
hurt.
When we tell people not to smoke.
Yeah.
You know, you don't see a lot of people smoking now because of that, you know, public announcements and things like that to get the kids to have that mindset.
It certainly can't hurt.
Yeah, and we've talked about that, and we're working together with our schools and the Secretary of State, because I think that is a place. If we can get that word out early with our people that are learning to drive. The other is, though, that, you know, if you're a good driver, you take your driver's test when you're 16 or 18, and then you never take it again. We actually need to train people, and that's how we do that, how we get them to think differently, because when I took driver's ed, there were no phones.
Right.
So how do we make sure that this ongoing training to make sure we have safe drivers out there is really important? But I agree with you that it starts in the driver's ed class.
I'm going to be looking forward to hearing some of the ideas that come out of your summit. Is there a way that we can keep up, the public can keep up with the results of this, once you put it online, how we can watch it and participate?
Absolutely. You can get it through our website at www.dot.gov. And I think we will be continuing to reach out to people. We have, for example, right now on our dynamic message signs, we have a public contest going on.
Oh, great.
That they can tell us what should be up there. How can we get the word out better? So we want to engage the public in this because ultimately they're going to make the difference.
The weirdest thing I've ever seen anybody do, distracted driving. I'm on the Edens Expressway years ago. I'm driving along and I look over and there's the car next to me. The guy was playing the trumpet while he was driving. He's playing the trumpet. And I thought, well, I'm sort of impressed, I guess. But both of your hands are on the trumpet. So he's holding the wheel. He was like using his legs or knees. So my message, if you're going to take my suggestion, don't trumpet and drive.
We'll put that right up there on the
message. Put that on the board on the Edens, because there's one guy out there that's been doing it. Thank you for coming in. We appreciate it. Illinois Department of Transportation Secretary Randy Blankenhorn. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Dean. You too.
Safe weekend. We'll be right back with more. Dean Richards on WGN. John Williams Show, Dean Richards filling in today. John will be back Monday, right? John's back on Monday. He did work a grueling four-day week, 2 hours each day. So you can imagine he's at home dehydrated, completely spent after a grueling week like that.
That's a lot of words.
That's a lot. Really, you know, I didn't think about it that way. If you think of the number of words that John has said this week, That could kill a guy, really. So thank goodness, I was able to fill in for him today, and he'll be back on Monday morning. Why am I playing Hello Dolly, you ask? Because we want to tell you about things going on for the weekend. And one of the things is the official opening this week of the classic Broadway musical, Hello Dolly, which has just opened at the Oriental Theater here in Chicago, starring Broadway legend Betty Buckley, who I did a one-on-one interview with her. I was going to share it today. We're going to share it now on Sunday morning at 10:30. But I saw it, and I loved it. I gave a great review. It's a really fun, big, old-fashioned show. Elle, if you saw the show also, what was your take on it all?
I gave it 110%. I thought it was really fun and funny and colorful, and the music was beautiful.
My perspective, coming from someone who has seen the show many times through the years, but this was the first time that you had ever seen Hello Dolly. So, I mean, you went into it completely fresh, but it was such a good production, wasn't it?
Yeah, it really was. And that was opening night, so I thought they did amazingly, just like you, and it was nice to see you there.
Yeah, it was. We had like a little WGN section.
Yes.
Where we were all seated.
Oh, that's funny. It wasn't a movie.
How did that happen that Violetta didn't get invited to the whole thing? So what do you have for us?
I have The Bride of Frankenstein, which will play tonight at Chicago Symphony Orchestra at 7:30. Tickets start at $33 on CSO.org.
All right. Very good. There's like some really cool Halloween kind of things. The Music Box Theater tonight is going to be showing Rocky Horror Picture Show number 1, which is really fun anytime. But especially for Halloween, I think it's really fun. But this weekend, they're also going to be showing the original version of The Mummy. Have either of you seen the original version of The Mummy with Boris Karloff?
Mm-mm. I don't think
you,
so.
Oh, you youngsters missing out on such fantastic movie-going experience. This is how the movie was intended to be seen on a big screen. It's from 1932. Black and white, Boris Karloff as The Mummy. Music Box Theater, you can check their website if you want to get some info on that. Violetta, what do you have for us?
Well, you can spend Halloween weekend with Nine Inch Nails at the Aragon Theater. That is already started yesterday. There's a show tonight and tomorrow. And you can get tickets at secureboxoffice.com. They range from like $125 and up. So it is a little bit pricey. But people who are fans of Riot Fest are going to be fans of this band. I don't particularly know them, but it seems like it's going to be a good Nine Inch Nails party. Yeah, am I supposed to know them?
I mean, it's not really what you call like a top 40 band, where you wouldn't hear them on the radio.
Yeah.
You'd hear them on alternative radio. You wouldn't hear them on...
But I did my research.
Yes.
So Riot Fest fans are going to like this.
Yes. Jesus and Mary Chain also playing at the Aragon this weekend as well. Fish. You guys know Fish, mm-hmm. right? At the Allstate Arena all weekend long. Goo Goo Dolls are at the Chicago Theater tonight. Smokey Robinson. You guys, please tell me you know Smokey Robinson.
Yes, by name.
Violetta, you know Smokey Robinson.
Yeah, it's a bear that lives in the woods. No, that's Smokey the Bear.
Well, that's good that you know that, too. Because
I didn't really watch that either, to be honest with you.
Smokey Robinson's only one of the most classic singers of all time. At the Genesee Theater in Waukegan. And, of course, the Rocket Man himself. Elton Jim Toronto will be at the United Center, but also as a coincidence, Elton John will also be performing there tonight and tomorrow. And I'm pretty sure both shows are officially sold out, but if you really want to go see Elton John, you know, ticket brokers, if you want to like mortgage your house and get tickets.
Right.
Because that would probably be the only way to get some more tickets on that. All right, LF, what else?
Well, the Chicago Humanities Festival is going on tomorrow. It starts at 11 a.m. with author Ron Chernow, and events take place in different venues across the city. So tickets start at $22 for that, and you can get more info on chicagohumanities.org.
That sounds fun.
Yeah. John had an interview yesterday with George Saunders, who will be there tomorrow.
You know, it's going to be there next week. I don't remember what day. Fairly well-known actor by the name of Tom Hanks.
Fairly well-known. I think I know that name.
Yeah, fairly well-known, like two-time Oscar winner Tom Hanks is going to be appearing. Excuse me for not knowing the date on that, but I know he's here next week. We'll get that information for you. Violetta, what else do you have for us?
Get your mind blown at the Illumination.
Who doesn't want that?
At the
Who doesn't want that on Friday? I want to get my mind blown this weekend.
Why not? There's an Illumination 2018 Halloween party going on. That is tomorrow night. Moonlight Studios is hosting it. It's hard to describe the very unique Halloween party of the year, but there's going to be interactive playground lights going on, mixed in with Halloween costumes, cocktails, live performances, and more. So there's really no way to be bored there. Tickets are ranging from $75 to $175, but there are some drink packages included in that.
I only have two words to say to respond to that.
Hmm.
Mind blown.
Pew. Pew. No words, just pew.
Tom Hanks, by the way, Harris Theater on Randolph Street, 8 p.m. November 2nd. Is that Friday? Is that Friday next week? November 2nd?
Yes. Let me check my sources.
Is it Thursday?
Your yes, sources. It's Friday.
Your sources.
That's the day after the Day of the Dead.
Okay, there you go.
Is it Thursday or Friday?
It's Friday.
It's Friday.
Sorry. Halloween's on Wednesday, then Day of the Dead.
I'm not into calendars.
And then Friday comes after that.
Dean, all you have to remember is it's my birthday.
That's
the first. It's the day after my birthday.
Okay. That I knew, because I have a big party.
Yeah, I've been waiting for my gift that you should send in the mail.
Tiffany hasn't sent it over yet.
Not yet.
The second that it gets here, though, it's coming right to you, Judy. Okay, mind blown with that. Elif, what else do you have?
I can give you Haunted Halloween Ball at the Congress Plaza Hotel tomorrow. Mm-mm. It's supposed to be really haunted. One of the most
haunted. The hotel is supposed to be really haunted.
Yeah, and it's the most haunted one in the world, isn't it? Or it's known as one of them.
I've been there to the Congress Plaza Hotel. I'm not one bit surprised that it's actually haunted. Really, really haunted. It's a creepy old hotel.
So you've had encounters?
I haven't had ghostly encounters there, but
maybe
that the Congress Hotel is right in front of the entrance to Lollapalooza, and when we do our live broadcast every year for television for Lollapalooza, I am normally stationed on a balcony at the Congress Plaza Hotel, and it's like one of these old, you know, it's been in Chicago a million years kind of hotels. It's nice. It's not the Four Seasons, but you know, it's nice. I'm not saying it's run down or dirty or anything like that, but it's an old hotel. And so I wouldn't be a bit surprised if you had some...
Well, it seems like the perfect place to celebrate Halloween.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right.
I have a really good one. Can I get it in real quick?
Of course you can.
I'm very excited about this. The Lyric Opera is hosting a masquerade ball, which it just sounds perfect, like to be at the Lyric Opera in a masquerade. That is coming up on Sunday, actually. Nope, make that tomorrow, Saturday.
Mind blown again.
At 8 p.m. And tickets are ranging from $75 to $200 a person. But part of that is benefiting the Ryan Opera Center. So that just sounds like a lot of fun. Because you get to go to the opera and dress up.
It's a fun time. It's a fun time to go to the Civic Opera House and go to the Lyric.
And not be as fancy maybe as you normally would be. You know, let loose a little.
Yeah. Comedian Bill Bellamy is at the Improv in Schaumburg this weekend. Eddie Griffin's at Zany's in Rosemont tonight and tomorrow. There's lots more going on. We'll put it up at the web.